Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Vav, and we're holding 9 lines down, right after Letol Mimenu Kumus. I think we're actually 12 lines down here. Vayara Takini, actually, is where we got up. So the next thing we've been talking about here is all about Bilam and trying to analyze Bilam's thoughts and Bilam's klalot and whether they were mekuyim ultimately and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the klalot to a brocha and was it a malach or a chaka. Anyway, getting on to actually what the things that Bilam said, some of them don't seem to be related directly to Klal Yisrael, and their general comment on things. So, Vayara Takini, so Bilam sees the Keni, and he's basically talking, as we saw, Keni is called clearly Choten Moshe, and therefore he must have been talking to Yitro. So he says to him, you know, Keni, Yisro, lo ayita imanu bota itza? I thought you were part of the presidential council that had that meeting, you know, with Paro, where we decided what was going to be done with these Jewish babies, throw them into the river, and so on. And how come you ended up, Mioshivcha Eto Etane Olam? Who put you together with the greatest people in the world, namely, that we saw before? Remember, we talked about the Bnei Rechav, which are the grandchildren of Yisrael that become the Sukkosim, Shimasim. They're sitting in Sanhedrin, part of the Lishkas Hagozis. How the heck did a guy who was on the presidential Peronic council get to the Lishkas Hagozis? The truth is that there were 3 people that were in the presidential council that Paro spoke to about what to do about the Jews. And the 3 of them were Bilam, Iov, and Yitro. So Bilam, he was the one that was most powerfully lobbying for drowning Jewish babies. So he, in the end, was killed. Iov, who didn't have the guts to say that he thought that this was a horrible plan, so he was shatak. He didn't want to say anything. Because of that, Nidon be Yisurin, he suffered these terrible Yisurei Iov, which have become a model for, like, the horror of how bad Yisurin can be. So he became that because he didn't have the guts to speak up. And Yitro, Shebarach, Yitro showed his disapproval. He walked out, ran away, and never came back again. So he, Zachu Banav, Bnei Vanav, Leishe B'lishkat HaGazit. Where do we see that they were Yoshe B'lishkat HaGazit? Shenemar, we saw before when we discussed the way that there are great Gedalim and members of Sanhedrin that teach Torah, and they come from the worst people, whether it's Sisra or Haman and so on. So Kosha came from the Keni, Mishpachot Sofrim, Yoshve, Yabet, Stiratim, Shimatim, Sukatim, Hema Hakinim, Habaim, Mechamat, Avi, Beit Rechav. So these were the Tiratim. These are all Lashonos of Bezdin, Tiratim, the Yoshve HaShar, Tira is the Shar, that's Bezdin, that's Yoshev HaShar, the Shim'atim, the ones that have the Shmuas of the Torah, the Sukkotim, the ones who are Serchan Klal Yisrael, Uchiv, Uvnei Keni, now who are these Beit Rechav from the Keni? Bnei Keni, Choten Moshe, that was pretty clear, he only had one father-in-law, that was Yisrael. Alume Meir HaTemarim, and they had come up from, remember, they had been given Doshna Shel Yericho, which is the Ir HaTemarim, until the Zman of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and so on. V'yisa mishalo v'yomar, oy mi yichye misumo el. So then, he goes on to say, here is my vision, my parable. And he says, whoa, nobody can actually live whatever misumo el means. So Reb Shimon ben Lakish says what that means is, sumo means the shmo. And it's saying, oi, to me shemechaya atzmo b'shem el. Somebody who makes himself choshev by utilizing the shem Hashem. So there are those, I mean, it's not very clear what this mimer is. Either it's a reference to the people that the Navi speaks of, who, you know, Moshev Elohim Yashavti, talking about Hiram Melech Tzur, or Paro, who made himself into a god, who pretended that he never needed a bathroom, all of those types of leaders that were the god kings. Or others say, Mechaye et atzmo, oy to someone who spends his life being Mechaye himself and caring not a whit for the Chukei HaTorah. Then when it comes time, Misumo El, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his din on him, woe to him, and so on. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, it means this, oy lo le'uma, at the time that is Sumo El, the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to do the Geula and to bring a pidyon for his children, you know what that's like. That's pretty stupid. Mi matil kisuto ben lavila levia b'sha'ar sheniskakim ze im ze. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers Aryeh Sha'ag, and the Klal Yisrael is considered to be a lioness. Ma'imech levia. Well, if you want to throw your talis between that lion and lioness when they're about to get together, you're pretty stupid. I can tell you that. I'd get out of the way fast. So any of these goyim who think they're going to be able to be ma'akev the geula, that's about as smart as that would be. Vitzim miyad kitim, and then the navy will depart from the right by the kitim. What in the world is that? The Omarav, well, that's referring to Libun Aspir, which is also not clear. Rashi says it's a port, some great port. So that's what it's referring to, that the navy will go forth, and, you know, there'll be great naval battles. The Inu Ashur, the Inu Aver, they will crush Ashur, crush Aver. So what does that mean? So those people that are invading this territory, maybe the great battle of the West against these Middle Eastern Kirchas, when they go to Ashur, as they go through Ashur, they're going to be murdering everybody in sight. So it'll be a vast massacre. Katli mikatli. After that, it won't be as bad. They will only be misha'abed shibudi. They'll just take everyone for slaves. Anyway, before he says the Eitza about the Benot Moav and so on, so he says the words, Hineni holech la'ami, now remember that we understood when he recognized that he is about to doom himself, that means he's no longer going to be a Navi, because I know when I give you this Eitzah, I'm destroying my life. So then what he was about to tell them is to send the girls out to seduce the Jews. And why does he say, let me tell you, Asher Yaseh Amazela Amacha, because, I mean, what he's really going to do is, I want to tell you what your people should do to these people. So, isn't this strange? Amacha La Amhazeh Nibayle. I'm going to give you a great idea for how to deal with this nation. Omer Rebbe Abba Bar Kana, well, we always find that. Ki Adam Shemekalel Et Atzmo V'Tolekel El Ato Ba'Achirim. Look, I mean, the things he's about to say are such an embarrassment and such a horrible thing to say to someone. You know, why don't you go take your daughters, the princesses, dress them up like whores, send them out. I mean, that's horrifying. So that's what you want to say to them. So yeah, you don't want to say it in that way. So you euphemistically, you talk about it as if, not that it's happening to me, it's happening to them, but everybody understands what you're saying. Omar Lam, so Bilam said to them, look, I have one great idea. The one thing that their God hates is screwing around. He's so nezimaru, okay? And these guys, now, I've got to put together a couple of great ideas here. I happen to know that these Jews have been hanging around in Mitzrayim for centuries. Now, you know what is considered to be hot stuff in Mitzrayim. Boss linen suits, right? So that's what the bosses were wearing. Everybody had linen suits. Now, these guys, I mean, they've been wandering around for 40 years. You know, what do you think their suits look like? They're about to come into Eretz Yisrael. What's the first thing they want to do? They want to get themselves some new suits, right? Okay, so here's my idea. They love these boss suits. What you got to do is you got to set up a suit fair, okay? And you've got these booths all over the place. Everybody's got different types of boss suits, okay? Now, inside these tents, all right, you've got these beautiful young whores. Now, outside of the tents, you got these old, nice ladies that are selling the suits, right? So the zekenais mi bachutz, the yaldas mi bifnim. The Jews don't suspect anything. It's a bunch of old ladies. Every old lady's got herself a little suit store, you know. So they're walking around. Meanwhile, they sit down, have a cup of coffee, walk around the suit fair. Wow, these are beautiful. This, okay. And they're going to be selling them klei pishtan. And what you got to do, we'll see. They're going to start buying the klei pishtan, and then it goes slow. I'm going to tell you the whole thing. So Asalahem, he goes ahead. Balak makes this incredible suit fair all the way from the Har Shelek, from the Hermon, all the way down to Beit HaYeshimot. Miles and miles of suits. Oh my gosh, they're about to come into Eretz Yisrael. What an opportunity after 40 years to actually be able to go shopping in Macy's. I mean, this is incredible. Okay. So then, Hoshibem Zonot, the Skenaz mi Bachutz, the Yaldaz mi Bifnim, and these Jews are walking around, sitting down, having a cup of coffee, maybe stopping into a bar here and there. They're Ochlin, Shotim, Smechim, and then they go take a little walk. Let's look around at the shop windows, you know. So Yotzim Latayel Bashuk. And there are these old ladies out there. Nice, sweet old lady. The nice, sweet old lady says, hey, are you in the market for a beautiful linen suit? This is a real boss suit. Absolutely guaranteed to be made in China. To be made in Mitzrayim. Yes, indeed. So, so they start looking. And, look, this one is $400, you know. Meanwhile, the pretty girl inside says, psst, I'll give it to you for $200. Shh. Just come on in here afterwards. All right. So they end up making a deal. He gets it for $200. This happens 3 or 4 times. He starts bringing his friends. This is a great place. I know the people. You know, they'll give us a special deal. Anyway, by the 3rd or 4th time, the pretty girl inside says, listen, you're like a part of my family. I mean, you've been in this market for so long. Why don't you come on inside? You just sit down. I mean, it's, you're not like the other customers. You sit down. I'll bring out all the suits. We'll spread them out. You can look through everything when the other customers aren't around, and you'll have lots of time to choose the best suits. This is classic, right? So, Shev Bror La'atzmecha. Meanwhile, you know, I'd bring out some delicious drinks. Tzurtzurisho Yayin, Amonim Munach Etzlash. She's got all this great wine. Now, at that point, remember, nothing would have happened, but the problem was, because no Jew would drink treif wine, but at that time it wasn't treif. That's the problem. Adayin lo nesar yayin shel nochrim. So there was no gezeiras yet. So they figured, okay, great, we'll have some nice wine. Anyway, that wine was known to be really, really powerful turn-on wine. So, Ritzon Cheshatishtekosho Yain. So, he's drinking and drinking. Kimon Sheshata Ba'arbo. Now he starts turning on. So then when he's really turned on, he says, listen, you know, how about letting me sleep with you? No problem, Shesi. Takes she out the idol from the inside of her dress. And she says, all you need to do a little worship to this. You get free sex all night. What do you say? He says to her, what, you're crazy? Hello, Yehudiani. I can't worship idols. So she says, nah, I'm not talking about worshiping idols, for heaven's sakes. What do you think? I'm crazy. Mike Patlacha, you know what I'm asking you to do? Take the idol into the bathroom and insult it and do filthy things on it. Now, he doesn't know. The Jew's going to suspect that there's really an idol, that that's considered to be the way to worship an idol. I mean, never occurred to him. Okay, so he's taking us into the bathroom. Then she says, well, we need another step before we get into bed. I mean, you know, that Bible of yours where they're saying Ammon and Moab are not allowed to get married. And I, that's really disgusting. I mean, you know, to treat me that way. I mean, here, you love me. You say you want to sleep with me. I'm yours forever. And then you're going to keep that book that says, don't ever marry someone from Moab. That's very inappropriate. So are you ready to sign off on that? No more of that stuff. Yeah. No more of that stuff. Let's go already. Anyway, so this was the way that they did it. Shnemar hema bo ba'al pa'or, vayinazru leboshet, vayu shikutsam ke'ahavam. That's what it means when it says in Hosea, they came to Ba'al Pa'or, and then they sort of, yinazru leboshet. I mean, it wasn't like they came there for that purpose. It was sort of wandering into it. And then, because of their love, which is really lust, they became shikutsim, bunch of shkutsim, hanging out with the shiksas. All right. Vayeshev Yisro bashitim. So there they are settling down. Reb Eliezer says, what does shitim mean? That's the name of the place. Reb Yeshua says, what do you mean, name of the place? There's never an innocent name of the place. Shitim comes from the word for shtuyot, and they were busy over there in all kinds of shtuyot. Then it says, Vatikrena la'am v'lezivchei Elohehem. What kind of strange Vatikrena? I mean, what does that mean? Rabbi Eliezer says, it means Lashon of Keri. These girls made up to meet the boys. They met them stark naked. These guys went wild. And on the spot, they ejaculate. Arumot pagubehem. So that's kulam balei kiryin. So Vatikrena means they met them in a way in which they were so turned on, they all became Balei Keri. Then, once we're already seeing that there's this machlokas about whether a name is meant to be analyzed or whether it's just a name, and sometimes a name is just a name, maybe not always. So if we're talking about Shitim, what about Rifidim? So again, Reb Eliezer says, what do you mean, what about Rifidim? And what about Pennsylvania? I mean, for heaven's sakes, that's the name of the place. Rifidim Shema, says Reb Yeshua. No. Rifidim means Sheripu Atzma Midivrei Torah. They made themselves weak when it came to learning Torah. Shenema lo hifnu avot el banim mi rifyon yadayim. You see that the way Yirmiyahu talks about that there's no kayach. So there it's talking about, obviously, in the Yirmiyahu, it's talking about the wars when they were being invaded. But it means we use that Lashon of Ripayon in terms of Limud HaTorah. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, kol makom. You take a look at that word over here. It says, Vayeshev Bishitim. Let me tell you that is a sign that things are going to be very bad. Because every time it says the word Vayeshev, we got problems. Vayeshev always means, we're happy, nice and complacent, sitting around. It evokes a picture of puffing on a pipe while you're sitting out there with your legs stretched out. That means whenever we find that word, it's always a Lashon Tsar. It's introducing something awful. Here's one. Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim. Okay, what's the next word? Vayachal Am Liznot Et Bnot Moav. A disaster. Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv. What happens? Vayave Yosef et Yibatamrai Alaviyem and everything that follows. Vayeshev Yisrael Be'eretz Goshen. What follows immediately? Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lamut. Vayeshev Yehuda V'Yisrael L'Vetach Ish Tachat Kafno V'Tachat Te'inato. This goes even further. I mean, forget about the pipes. You got Barnea sitting underneath his grapevine next to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's cave. I mean, you couldn't get nicer things than that, right? And what's the next thing? Vayakem Hashem. What? Mm-hmm. Oh, the fig tree still lives? Okay. So see what ends up happening to Barnea. Immediately, what does it say? Barnea falls asleep in sheer. Clearly a direct result. Vayakem Hashem Satan l'shlomo. This was Hadad HaAdomi, Mizrah HaMelech, Ve'edom Naal's story, which ended up being a problem that they were Mitzar Yisrael. Anyway, so that means we open up the narrative of misery with the word Vayeshev. Ve'et Malchei Midyan Harguach Alaleihem. Then what was the end of Bilam? So it says that when Yisrael went ahead and they invaded, they killed all the Malchei Midyan, it says also, which doesn't make much sense, Ve'et Bilam ben Beor Hargu Bechoret. I mean, that doesn't make much sense because he said, Hineni Halech El Ami, but he didn't live in Midian. He lived in Aram Naharaim. I'm so confused. What was he doing there? Bilam, my boy Hata. Ah, says Rabbi Yochanan. He was there because they weren't paying him enough for all the Jews that he managed to knock off for them. I mean, 24,000 Jews. You figure 10 bucks a Jew. I mean, he wanted a lot of money. So he went to collect. So halach li tol sachar esringar ba'elev shehipu mi Yisrael. I mean, my eitzah worked. You owe me per Jew. You know, that's what people say. Gamla azla lemiboy karne. When the camel goes to court and says, why don't I have horns? They say, give us your ears. They take off the ear. You want horns? We'll take off your ears. The more you want that you shouldn't be wanting, the more we'll take from you. If he had just stayed at home and watched TV, they wouldn't have gotten him when they invaded, killed the kings of Midian. But now, okay, we'll take off your ears. Ve'et Bilam ben Beor hakosem. Hakosem? How do you refer to Bilam as a kosem? What does that mean? He's got like a, you know, little Madam Bilam's magic shed. I mean, what? This guy's a major player, isn't he? I mean, he was a Navi, not a Kosem. So how do they talk about him? Yoshua writes, he's a Kosem. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, that's right. He used to be a Navi, and then he became a Kosem. To which Rav Papa says, yes, yes, that is another popular saying that they have. A classic Rav Papa, if this appears in that little pamphlet, Rav Papa saying, it comes given out free. If you go to a Papa beer shop, you can also get a list of Rav Papa's sayings. And this is what they say about the Misigne Vishilte Avoy. Oh, that beautiful princess. She used to be hanging out with the kings and powerful men of the world. And now she runs away with a sailor? Aizen Legavre Negri? Oh, my gosh, that's like the lowest of the low. So this is what happened. This guy used to be a Navi, and now what is he? Madam Bilam's magic shop. Oh, what a rachmanet. Horgu b'nei Yisrael b'cherev el chala lehem. So it continues on. That Bilam ben Beor hakosem, the b'nei Yisrael killed them el chala lehem. That's funny. What do you mean? To their victims? Like, what does that mean? No, says Rav. What it means is there's four Mises Besdin, right? So that's how we open the whole sugya. And the four Mises Besdin are the different ways, which is El Chala Lehem, the different ways that the Jews were given over to them to be done. So then it says El Chala Lehem, all four ways they were Mekayim with Bilam. So that means Shekimubo, Araba, Mises, they did everything to them. They were circle him, they were serif him, they were herig him, they were chenek him. Whatever they could do, they managed to get him in all the different ways. So, you know, they hung him up so that he was choking to death. Then they cut off his head, which is herig. He falls onto the ground, which is the skila, and into a fire directly, which is sreifa. Fine. Okay. Do you have any idea how old was Bilam when he was killed here? So Rabbi Chanina says, look, it doesn't say anything in the Torah about how old he was. But obviously, so it says people of blood and deceit, they don't live out even half of a normal lifetime. So that means if we say a normal lifetime would be 70, so then he must have been less than 35, right? Because lo yakatsu yamehen. I don't know, so maybe he was like 33 or 34 years old. I mean, that's all that it could mean. So the question is, how does this work out with what we just said, that Bilam was one of the presidential council? I mean, that took place a long time before that. I mean, if he was only 34 years old, then that means he wasn't even alive at the time that the presidential council with power about killing the Jewish babies took place, right? So this clearly, he doesn't hold that that's the same individual. We've got maybe this maid of Bilam, not very clear. Omar Lay, so this guy says this, Min, maybe a Christian, he says to Rabbi Hanina, you know, you're a smart guy. Shapir Ka'amrit. Yeah, actually, your guess is not far off because I found the Pinkase de Bilam. And it was like a little story that they had written up about Bilam, a little biography. And in it says, Bart Latinut Lachnin Bilam Chagira. Bilam, the poor lame guy, was only 33 years old when he was murdered by that mafioso Jew by the name of Pinchas. Katkoto yate Pinchas listo. Pinchas the mafioso, he killed him when he was only 33 years old. I say it's probably worth going to the International Kangaroo Court about that one. Omele Mar Bereda Ravina Livre. So Mar Bereda Ravina said to his son, let me give you some good advice. Don't get involved in being dorish, bad things about the different melochim or the individuals that are in the Mishnah and that they don't have a chelik and olam haba. There's no inyan to find more and more bad things about them, except for Bilam HaRasha. Bilam HaRasha, kama de meshkachas be drojbe. Anything that you can find miserable to say about him, we have a Kabbalah, say it. This, of course, is more in tune with the approach of the Dorshei Rishumais that we had before, which I've spoken to you about the Balei Kabbalah, who say that a person has to be very careful not to say things even about big Rishayim, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy about the exposure of any of the Ra of his children, and that over the Dorshei Rishumais, that they're able to ascertain things that other people aren't sensitive to, which meant that deep down, all of those people do have a chelik in Olam Haba and a different darga of Olam Haba, which is the Ayin Leiroasa. Memela, just because it says in the Mishnah to teach us how to be noyeg, that they don't have a chelik in Olam Haba, that does not give you a right to open your mouth and search for bad things about Bnei Yisrael. Now, you'll notice a very strange thing, that the way that Doeg, this is the next, we're moving on now, because that was the end of Bilam, that was the discussion of the first person who was a hedyot, doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. And after that, we move on to Doeg HaAdomi. So you remember the story of the Doeg was originally, again, a big Talmud Chacham. He was the Abir HaRoim. He was the greatest authority in the Beis Din of Shaul. And he very much resented Beis David, Malchus Beis David. And he was the one that kept presenting David HaMelech in a light that would make Shaul hate him, jealous of him. He was the one that actually told Shaul about the fact that David had gone to Novir HaKohanim, where they had helped him, and they had given him food, and so on. He was the one that got Novir HaKohanim destroyed. So basically, he was a tremendous Baal Lashon Hara, And he was actually a murderer in the sense that he got rid of Ofira Kohanim. So he loses his chelak in Olam Haba. Now, initially, what we find is that he's spelled, every time he's brought up, he is spelled Doeg with an olive. And then after that, with the Ofira Kohanim, he becomes Doeg for some reasons. And we see that he's spelled differently. And this was the Doeg Lemaisa was also the only one, because there were other people that could have been involved in this kind of thing, and they were also very close to Shaul, and they actually fought against Doeg, because the reason that Doeg claimed that he was a Murid B'Malchus is because he tainted, this is the, there's a Medrash. So the Medrash is not clear what the marker of the Medrash is. That's the problem, because it's really a Yalkut. But Lemaisa, so it says over there that Doeg claimed that it was Mitzad HaDin that they were supposed to be killing David. Because David went to Ofira Kohanim, he actually used the Kohen Gadol to be Shoyel on the Urim V'Tumim, what he should do. And the Doeg Tainet, if he is using the Urim V'Tumim, so he thinks that he's a melech. That's a merida. And if the Kohen Gadol and allows him to do that, so then he's a merid b'malchus by treating him as a melech, because the Yamod Lifnei HaKohen for the Eliezer HaKohen to be the Elazar HaKohen to be the Kohen Gadol with the Urim V'Tumim is set on a melech. It's not set on stam. A person has a question and goes to speak to the Kohen Gadol and go to the Urim V'Tumim. Fine. Now, everyone else that was part of that Besden paskined against Doeg, and that it's not true that if he is somebody that is being sent by the king, which is the way that he was normally viewed, and he's going for all of Klal Yisrael, then, which is what Akshlach Melech said, you know, Shaul, I mean, we knew that this is your most trusted general, this is your guy. I mean, how was I to think that he was running away from you? So, he would have a right to be Shaul in the Urim V'Tumim. And Doeg Afal Pikein, he tainted, his psakdin was correct, and the Besdin's psakdin was incorrect. So that's how this whole thing happens. It was very, very committed that he misrepresented this. He saw that the Rov paskin against him. So up until that time, Yosheva Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Doeg, Shema Yetze Zele Tarbut Ra'a, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw the depth of his personal, taking things personally in this way. And the fact that he was shyach to such a thing made HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayochol very worried. This person can easily turn Latarbus raw, because if he doesn't get himself under control, he's got so many conflicting emotions in there, he could go very, very wrong. When he did go wrong, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Kavayochol, vai, vai, this guy was the greatest guy. So that vai is put in instead of the olive. So it's the vaig, right? So it's Doeg, vai, every time I think of him, it hurts. Vai, shiyatza zelatabusra. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv, ma titalel bera'a hagibor, chesed el kol hayom. So this is all part of the Tehillah Nun Beis, which is all about the terrible way that the Mesapri Lashon Hara treated David HaMelech, where David HaMelech speaks about them and how horrible it was. So one of the things he says is, why is it that you take such pride in all the horrible things that you do? You are a gibor, and you are surrounded all day long by the most incredible Chasdei El. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens your mind to the Inyanim of Torah. Your zeicher to be able to learn, to be able to give over Torah. Why do you have to become such a Rasha? The last person that should be that way. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'doeg, lo gibor b'torah ata. Aren't you a tremendous Talmud Chacham? Matit alil b'ra'ah. What do you get out of it? Lo chesed el natuya lecha kol hayom. Don't you experience the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to all Tamid HaChachamim, chucho chesed is on you all day long, as the Gemara says elsewhere. How can you act this way? V'yomer Rabbi Yitzchak, My dechtiv, ularasha amar Elohim, malach alasaper chukai. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to evil people, what are you, a person like you, going around teaching Torah? Well, malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu ledoeg harasha, what are you doing, quoting inyanim in the Torah? What's going to happen? Kishata magia leparshat meratzchim, uparshat besaprei lashon hara. How are you going to excuse yourself and not fall through the floor when you're supposedly teaching people how not to murder, how not to speak lashon hara, to understand the inyanim of lashon hara? I mean, this is outrageous. You're like a model for that kind of horrific behavior, and you're going to be teaching Torah? It's awful. Mata doresh bem. How are you going to explain that, huh? You're going to talk about my bris, which is Torah, on your mouth? Omer Rabbi Ami, ein tarato shodoeg el misafa lachutz. That's the point. It's alepicha. You carry my Torah in your mouth, and you don't give a damn about it. It's all misafa lachutz. It's all from your lips outward. That's not called Torah. The Omer Rebbe Yitzchak, my dechtiv v'yiru tzadikim v'yirou, v'alav yishaku. When it's talking about, this is in that same Tehillah about Doeg, so in Nun Beis. So it says, the tzadikim will see, and they'll be terrified, and then they'll laugh at him. Meaning what? That Betchila, when Doeg was powerful, before he was exposed as this mass murderer, yirou, but when he died, when he was only 33, Yitzchaku, then they laughed with happiness that Baruch Hashem, and that he's gone. Thank heavens, who needed this guy around? The Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dechtiv, ayo balav, ayakienu mi bitno, yirishenu el. This guy has swallowed so much Torah. This is the Eishes Chayil. Remember, Chayil is Memches. You know, the Memches Dvarim is a gematria of Memches. This is a person who swallowed all of the Torah. He'll vomit it out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should get it out of him. Omer David Afni HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. This guy should drop dead. Yamut Doeg. Omer Lo, I can't. He's filled with Torah. Chayil Bala first, Vayakieno. He's got to forget all of it and vomit it out. And then he can die. But meanwhile, someone with that amount of terror can't die young. Amar lefanav, you do that for him. Maybe mi bitno yorisheno el, maybe you could pump out his stomach, and that way we can get him faster. And another thing Rabbi Yitzchak points out, that this is the mucker in the terror, that Doeg doesn't have a chelek. In Olam Haba, my dechtiv gam el yitatzecha lanetzach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should crush you forever and ever. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid. David, listen, let's take care of Doeg in Olam Hazeh. Let him have a chelek in Olam Haba. Omar lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, no. Gam el yitatzcha lenetzach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should crush this guy forever, meaning from Olam Haba. And my dechtiv yachtcha v'yisachacha me'oel. This says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should cut you out, tear you out from the oil, which is obviously the oil of Torah, rip you out by the roots from the land of Chaim. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clearly, this was in response to something HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said to him. Namely, David, if you're going to be that against him and I have to keep him out of Olam Hazeh and out of Olam Haba, at least let there be some memory of him that they'll quote him in the Beis HaMedrash. Lebru Shmaitza Bebidrasha Mishmei. Amar lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, no. Yachtecha v'yisachacha mi'ohel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should tear this guy out from the Ohel HaTorah. So then clearly, again, contextually, we understand that there must have been that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being melamed zchus, lahavilei bunin rabbanan, at least let him have children, grandchildren, who are tamidei chachamim. I mean, it's not worse than Haman, is he? Oh, yes, says David. V'sheresh chamir eretz chayim, rip him out by the roots, so that there should be no children grandchildren that will ever be part of the Eretz Achayim, which is the world of Torah. Not necessarily, but forever is not the real meaning of Selah. It means absolute, more. You know, like, the Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, my diktiv, that I think it's a takeoff on the Selah being a musical sign of end of passage, right? That's the pashtus of when it's put into Tehillim. But we understand that it also means end of discussion. This is it. The Omer Rebbe Yitzchak, I don't think it's a machlok, you know, that those who say Selah is a musical thing, that it's the same idea. The Omer Rebbe Yitzchak, fascinating that Yeshayo speaks about, Ayei Sofer, where is the counter? Ayei Shokel, where is the one who knows how to weigh things? Ayei Sofer at Amigdalim, where is the one who knows how to keep track of all the skyscrapers? What is this talking about? It's talking about Doi. Ayei Sofer, where is the guy that knows? Why do we call Seferim Seferim? Remember the Gemara says elsewhere, Shal you Seferim kol ha'ish yeshebetera. Remember that we saw before that he was a tremendous bookie, as Rashi says in Chaserot and Yeterot. So these were all Seferim. They could count every single letter, remember. Counting every single letter is not only to count the chaseros via terot, because as we saw in the Gemara, that talks about the number of aishas in the terah and the place where it's half of the terah base and so on. That is a understanding of the letters that are part of the letters. It's not just the letters. If you take a look at an olive, you're really looking at a vav with two yuds on it and so on, right? So each letter they knew how to count specifically in the way that it's comprised out of other letters. Where is that guy? Ayei Shokel. Shokel means you have to judge what is more chomer and what is more kal, right? Because if you're making a kal for chomer, so then you have to have beautiful judgment about which is the kal and which is the chomer. You could say, oh, well, maybe this is chomer because of this, and so on, like the Gemara always does. That is doeg. And he was able to actually carefully be masbir, which is kal, taking all of the elements into consideration. Now, what's that about? Counting the skyscrapers? Yes, this was a guy. We have this strange sugya that we've met in many places. There's a lot of different pirushim. It's really a concept in Kabbalah. Nonetheless, we know we've seen Rashi that talks about Migdal Poreach Ba'avir is the dinim of the ksiva of the Ois Lamed, because the Ois Lamed, the shape of the Ois Lamed, the top of the Lamed, is slightly bent, so it looks like the Tower of Pisa, and therefore it's a Migdal Poreach Ba'avir, because it's just sort of hanging in the air, not properly balanced. So, okay, the idea over here of the Migdal Poreach Ba'avir is ivory towers that are not mechuber, and all of these people that were punished in this way, they all were big bekiim in Migdal Poreach Ba'avir. Okay, others learn Migdal Poreach Ba'avir is a real halacha that we learned together in Maseches Oyaleis, because we had over there what is the din of a flying tower, which is essentially, what's that guy's castle? You know, the one that children's story? Can't remember it now. But anyway, it's the tip of my tongue. Barnea, come on, you're supposed to be the one who fills it in. That magic castle. Gosh, what a bunch of Amoratsim around here.
No.
Not
the magic dragon?
Ah, my gosh. Yes, yes. Thank you for coming to my rescue. Anyway, so we have the whole mission over there in Olos, basically, which is referring to airplanes, flying castles. And the question over there is, what is the din of an Oyel Zoruk, right? So the question is, if you're flying over Chutz La'aretz in a flying castle? Do you become Tomei from Avir Eretz Ha'amim or not? Or is there a din of a flying castle? Is it considered to be a chatzitza b'fnei atuma? That is just a real halacha in Masechet Olot. Or maybe it means that he knew how to make flying castles, or that he knew about a migdal, not poreach ba'avir, but that was standing in the avir, which is another sugya noyolais, what the din would be where you have tuma that's inside of a box or a closet of some kind that's not in the house, it's outdoors. So is the tuma bokeh va'ela? These are the sugyas. Okay. In actuality, it is a reference to an esoteric inyan that is reflected in the Islamic and is well researched Kabbalistically. But anyway, so they were Bekiyan in that one thing. And furthermore, Omar Rabbi Ami, forget about the fact that he knew 300 halachas. Arba mea ba ya bo doig vachitofo b'migdala pareh ba'avir. These guys were such incredible Tamir Chachomim that they had whole books. Forget about the Shev Shmaitza. This was the Arba Meot Shmaitza of all kinds of chakirais of what would be the din of a Migdal Pareach Ba'avir like this. 400 chapters of analyzing different inyanim of esoterica. And no one was able to actually get to the bottom of even one out of the 400. Now that is real godless. Oh my Rava, that is godless? What's godless about that? Rabuta Lebeboy, buy you what? To sit around and ask all of these, what would be the din if? What would be the din if? And explain to me with your genius. That's what the Mesillas Yesharim calls Chakirot Shelo Yetzei Mehem Kol Peri. This is fruitless and useless kind of discussion. I think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in your big lumdas. Let me show you something, man. All the time that Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda was a big, big Gadol B'Torah. The only thing that they learned in those days was Nezikin, okay? We learn everything. We do the entire Mishnah. We get all the way through Uktzin. And yet, if Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda would get to Isha Shekoveshet Yerek B'Kedera, if he would even get to that Mishnah in Tyrus, he would say, or some say it was the Mishnah of Zaitim Shekvashan Bitrafehim Tahorin, maybe it was the Mishnah in Uktzin, that makes more sense because he was talking about Uktzin. So he would say, oh my God, this Mishnah, this is worse than all of the sugyas of everything that Rav and Shmuel said all through Shas. I don't know what the heck is going on over here. Now, I can tell you that as far as we're concerned, we've got 13 different approaches to Uktzin. Now, he didn't know what was going on any level. The same way that Rabbeinu HaKadosh had 13 approaches in all of the Mishnayos. And yet, if there was a need for rain, and Rav Yehuda would sit down and take off one shoe to begin a Tainus Tzibur, it would start pouring. Ve'anan Safchinan, we sit there all day long, and we're crying out, and we're saying all of these Tehillim, and Yud Gimel Midais, and Ke'arachum V'chanun, and everybody's crying and walking around barefoot and putting all types of sackcloth on themselves. You think anybody pays any attention? Nobody gives a hang. Lek of the Mishkachba. Nobody pays attention to what we do. But if Rav Yehuda takes out his little toe from a shoe, it starts pouring. Now I ask you, so who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu machshiv? The guy who's the big bucky in Kol HaShas and has 13 different approaches to Uktzin, or the guy who's a mensch? HaKadosh Baruch Hu liba boy. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes is people with a heart. Dechliv Hashem yir el alevav, the Divrei Torah, not be safala chutz and intellectual exercises and chess games, that every word of Torah makes a difference to his life. That's what he likes. Amra Misharsha. Doig v'achitofa lo avi savri shmaitza. This doig v'achitofa, they didn't even know how to learn. Matkif lo marzut, are you crazy? I mean, that's something. The last thing you should say about them is they don't know how to learn. What is that supposed to mean? They didn't really understand the sugya. What it means is not they didn't know how to learn. They were unable to bring that learning to an actual psak halacha that was mekubal. You remember when we went through the brachas on Yehuda that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring him back in to the Masifta L'Rakia, and then he wasn't able to fight with the Milchamta Shel Torah, and that was the next step. But the last step was that he never was able to give a psak that was a Shmaitza L'Hilchasa. And that was the Alamot de Vienu. That's what they weren't able to do. So why weren't they able to do that if they were such gedolim? Seid Hashem li Reyav, the Sod Hashem, is that hidden element that is the most difficult thing to be aimed on. People think today, all you do is you put together all the shitas, you know, you write up your little tshuva there, this guy says this, this guy says that. You know, it seems to me most of the shita, you know what you're talking about. The Sod Hashem is not adding up shitas. The Sod Hashem is to recognize the underlying secret of the yichud that comes from Kol HaTorah Kulo. To you, it looks like a random bunch of piskei halachas. He was unable to be aimed on the Sod Hashem, and that's what you need to be able to paskin. Let me tell you something. All of this stuff that Doeg do, like we saw, David HaMelech said, just get it out of him. Give him the medics. I don't know, but get him to throw up all of his Torah. Indeed, Lomet Doeg Ad Sheshachach Talmudo. Doeg did not die until all the things he learned were forgotten. Shenemar, Hu Yamut Ein Mispar. He's going to die without the Torah, which is Musar. Uberov Ivalto Yishke, and his great, how would you say, envelop, the perversion. It's just everything is like folly, idiocy. That drove him into the depths of mistakes that he made. Rav Omar, it's worse than that. He was mitzareya. He actually became a mitzora, which is what you would expect for someone who's Mesaper Lashon Hara. The whole parsha of Tzaraas is said about such a person. But where do we see that Doeg actually got Tzaraas? Shenemar, Hitzmata kol zoneh mimeka. Because it says, Gufa in the Pasuk, about Doeg in Tehillim, it says that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, were matzmit. Now, what does that word matzmit mean? Hitzmata. All those who are zona, who are strayers from you. So look, that's an interesting word, right? Because we find in the Torah that word, v'nogea yovel. So what does it say? That the oretz lotim kor litzmitut. What's litzmitut? If you take a look at the Targum, it says, l'chalutin, which means an absolute cell. Now, that lashon of chalutin, where do we find that? In the dinim of Tzaraas. Ein ben muskar umuchlat. So muchlat is after the person has gone through the stage of Hezger, where the Kohen now comes back and paskins on him that this is definitely Tzaraas, he is called a muchlat. So the only difference between them is the halachas of priya uprima, but you have to actually let his hair grow and so on. So that is only to a mukhlat, and you have to let your begadim take out the hem of the begadim. So that means mukhlat is one of the dinim of Tzaraas, and it comes from l'chalutin. And that's the Targum for Tzmitut, in which case Hitzmata, of a reference to people like Doeg, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Doeg Tzaraas. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the truth is, Shosha Malachei Chabalad is Damlalo de Doeg. There were three dangerous malachim that affected Doeg. One of them was Bishakech Talmudo. He affected his brain, so that he didn't remember anything he learned. One of them was Soref Nishmasa, burning his soul. And one of which was Pizer Afarob about the Knesset, about the Midrashas, spread the ashes of that burning, so to speak, obviously it's all metaphorical, in the Bate Knesset and Bate Midrashas. And Vama Rabbi Yochanan, the truth is, Doeg and Achitofel, which David HaMelech always puts them together, as if they were attacking him at the same time. They were not, fortunately for David, attacking him at the same time, because they weren't even alive at the same time. So, lo ra'u zet ze at all, because remember that Doeg's heyday, and he was only 33 when he died, was at the time of Shaul, whereas Achitofel, he was B'mei David, and not just B'mei David, he was at the time of Avshalom, right? That's when his leadership was. And that means that his life was ended, and he died also before he was 35. And it was already this 37th year of David when Avshalom rebelled. So obviously they never could have seen each other. And therefore, even though it looks like he keeps talking about Doeg v'Achitofel, thank heavens that they weren't there together, because who knows whether he would have ever been able to make it away alive if both of them would have been against him simultaneously. The Omer Rabbi Yes. Many of the Mefarshim say that's good for the point. That it means that even though all this happened to Doeg, but at least he becomes the Efer Tachas, the Ragleim of people, so that there's a reshem, so to speak, of Doeg's existence, which is still there in Bate Knesset and Bate Midrashas. I'm not sure if it's for good or for bad, because there seems to be a lot of Doegs around in places like that, but maybe that comes from his Efer. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, like we saw before, Doeg v'Achitofel, lo chatzu yemeyem, they didn't get even to the age of 35. Tanya Nami Achi, like we saw, Anche Domi Mumirma, lo yachatzu yemeyem, which amazingly we're masking this every time we finish a Masechet, to remember the importance of the Lev in Torah and the dangers of the Midas Rois that come to people who utilize the Torah in ways that are without Lev. So Koshino Tavshal Doeg Lohoyo Elo Shloshim V'Arba V'Shal Achitofel Lohoyo Elo Shloshim V'Shalosh. And furthermore, says Rabbi Yochanan, if you take a look at the relationship of David and Achitofel, see an amazing thing. Because where he's talking, when David speaks to him in Tehillim, and he sort of argues with Achitofel, how could this be? So at the beginning of that Tehillah, Nun Hei, he calls him his Rebbe. And then he keeps talking as if he's like just a Chavrusa. And then he calls him a Talmud. Where do we see that? Take a look. B'tchila kara o rabbo. So what does it say? I don't understand. Ata enosh kerki, alufi umiyudai. Like, you're a man like me. I used to think that, like, we experienced the same things in life. You are like my teacher. You are like my source of inspiration. So another is calling him his Rebbe. Then he goes on some right afterwards, essentially, the next pasuk is that he's a chavrusa. Asher yachtav nam tiksod bebet Elohim na'alech baragash. We used to go and have such wonderful times together. That's yachtav, is as a chaver, in the house of Hashem. We would have such sweet times. So namtik, we had sweet times. And then David HaMelech changes his whole tone. It's not really and then, but it's in Sefer Tehillim. He calls him Gam Ish Shlomi Asher Batachtivo, the person that I trusted the most. And here's the point. Ochel Lachmi. He lives off of my bread. What does that mean? I'm the one who taught him everything he knows. Igdil Alay Akev. So he lifts up his foot so that he can squash me. Can you imagine? So this is the guy from being the one I shared everything with, the one that was my sweetest chavrusa, and this is what he does to me. Okay, whew. These are hard dapim to learn, let me tell you. The human treachery, Klal Yisrael's treachery, the tzoras of the shibud, oh my gosh, the way that the greatest could fall into not having a chelik in Elam Haba. It leaves you shaking every day. So anyway, may we be zeicher to seeing only the good things that are in the future of Yisrael.